please turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. Now, again, if you're just tuning in with us today, you may be wondering, why am I dressed down? We will get to that in a minute, but I just need you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Book of Luke, chapter 10, and then we're going to read from the 21st verse. The sermon is actually coming from the 21st through the 24th verses, but in the interest of time, we're going to read the 21st verse. And while you're getting there, I'm going to ask our musicians to just stick around for a little bit where you're at. Just stick around where you're at. I might need you when we get going. The book of Luke, 10th chapter, 21st verse. When you have it, say amen. All right, I hear a lot of amens. Does anybody need some time? Nope. Well, book of Luke, 10th chapter, 21st verse. I will be coming from the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. Luke 10, 21 reads as follows. It says, at that time, he, talking about Jesus, at that time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. I would like to come to you from the following topic: when Jesus praises the Lord. When Jesus praises the Lord. You may be seated. When we're talking about the Lord, all caps, we're talking about the Father. And this is the time in Scripture when Jesus himself goes on a praise break and praises the Father. Now it's interesting because I know, you know, it was said earlier we're small in number and whatnot. I understand the rain and the cold and whatnot. I get it. Thank you for those of you who are online tuning in. I know you wish you could be here. Thank you. But you know, there used to be a time. And yes, I'm actually old enough to remember the time when people would just come out in a praise break. I remember a time when people, just because of what was heard or what was said, they would shout out glory to God. And then if they really wanted to, they, you know, the musicians would get going on and on and on. And, you know, they you know, do all the dancing. And in fact, I remember when people used to run around the church like this. I remember that. I was young. I was a kid, but I remember that. And then some people say, well, you know, that was the good old days. Why isn't it happening now? Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons, but that's not really the point of this sermon. The point of this sermon is to get to why Jesus broke out in a praise. See, there are certain things that get us excited. You know, I wish I could sing, but some you know, people talk about the goodness of God. And when I think about Jesus and all he's done for me, and when I think about Jesus, how he set me free, I can dance all night. Some people just get up and, you know, do all of that. Some people just think of the goodness of God. Some people just think of how he's blessed me. Some people just think of grace and mercy, and they just get up and just do all of that. That's what some people do. And some people, maybe you can't do all of that. Maybe you don't have all the activity of your limbs, but sometimes you just wave your hands. Sometimes you just wave side to side. But sometimes you just say, glory, hallelujah. You may not have a loud voice like me, but some of you just say it. See, there's all types of ways to break out in praise. But what breaks you out in praise? Well, actually, I'd like to talk about this in this scripture. See, what, you know, we're reading the scripture and we're talking about how the Lord started rejoicing. My question is, what gets Jesus excited? What gets Jesus excited? That's what we're going to be talking about. Jesus breaks out and praises the Lord. What gets Jesus excited? And if we're followers of Christ, we ought to be followers of what Christ does, right? So if Jesus gets excited about something, we should be excited about something too, right? What gets Jesus excited? Now let's look in the text, because some of you may remember from the last time I preached, we talk about the 70 or 72 disciples that came back and they were casting out demons and doing all kinds of stuff, and they were all excited because they had power. They were all excited because they had authority. They were all excited because they could do whatever the Lord had asked them to do. They could cast out demons. They could heal. They were doing all the things. And Jesus comes in verse 19, Luke 10, 19. He says, look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Some of y'all might remember this. Nothing at all will harm you. Amen. Somebody would have done a praise break right there, right? That's what they were doing. They were doing a praise break right there. Verse 20. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Yeah, you cast some demons out. Don't rejoice over that. That's easy. You healed some people. Don't rejoice over that. Don't rejoice over that. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. But this is what Jesus says. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh boy. And just in case you didn't know what rejoicing looks like, Jesus put on a display at verse 21. It says, at that time, right when Jesus said that, at that time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Some of your versions might say, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Or some others will say, at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. And I say this because that word rejoice, the way it gets translated different ways, but the way it means, it's like an over, it's overjoyed. It's like a lot, it's exuding joy. Actually, you break the word down, it actually breaks down to mean a lot of jumping. That's actually what it means in the original language. And the reason I'm saying this is because if I'm going to preach this, I need to be able to do a lot of jumping. I'm going to need to be able to rejoice in the Holy Spirit. I need to be able to show how excited I can get for the Lord. And I'm sorry, but the suit wasn't cutting it this time. So excuse me while I'm in my jean shorts and my shirt while I praise the Lord. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm not wearing what people normally see me wear. But excuse me, but I lift God up. But I lift His holy name. Because why am I doing this? Not just to put on a show. Not just to give an example. But I'm saying, when Jesus was rejoicing greatly, full of joy in the Holy Spirit, Jesus wasn't going like, oh, this is great. Oh, Father, I praise you, Father. Oh, Lord of heaven and earth. Because that's how we think Jesus is. Oh, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. If I were looking at Jesus when he said this, he'd be saying, I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father. Wait a minute. Lord of heaven and earth. Because you have what? Hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. And have given them and revealed them to infants. Jesus will still be going off. He'd be saying, yes, Father. Again, yes, Father. Somebody know how to say that? Yes, Father. Because this was your good pleasure. I'm talking about this is how Jesus actually would have said this. I'm talking about this is how Jesus actually would have said this if you were there. Yes, Father. Because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son. This is Jesus' song. No one knows who the Father, the Son is except the Father. And who the Father is except the Son. And another praise word, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. This is Jesus turning up. This is Jesus getting excited. If he were here, it's always good to talk about the blessings of the Lord. It's always good to talk about how he brought you a mighty long way. It's always good to talk about what he has done for you. But what Jesus gets excited about, what Jesus starts to praise, dance on, is that God the Father has used him to hide the things from the wise and intelligent and reveal them to infants. What Jesus is happy about is that the Father is using him to reveal things to you. What Jesus is happy about is that. See, here is a great truth, and I hope this helps you. See, a lot of us think that God prefers the great ones, but actually, God prefers the opposite. We think God has favor over the rich, over the well-spoken, over the connected. We think God is all about them. But God actually prefers those who are not rich, those who have trouble speaking, those who are shy, those who don't have the social skills, those who may not have a title in church, those who may not have been invited to speak. God prefers to use those people because he can do great things and get the maximum amount of glory when he goes and uses what we call the least of these. This is what makes Jesus happy, is that God didn't choose the man who had a PhD. But God chose the uneducated and used him for his glory. God chose the woman that was not necessarily rich. Actually, the woman was broke. And God used her for his glory. That's what makes Jesus excited. Because this way, it's not about how much money you've got. It's not about how well connected you are. It's not about what your last name means in the church. It's about God getting the maximum amount of glory. Yes, there were other people that were more qualified than you. Yes, there were. There were more people qualified than you. But God chose you. God chose you. Amen. God chose you. And that ought to be exciting. That ought to be great. Because I think about myself. I say, you know what? I'm in LA. I'm in Los Angeles. Y'all know how many pastors and preachers are in Los Angeles? But God, for whatever reason, chose me. And this past Sunday, y'all helped remind me that God chose me. I don't know why. Some think it's because of my last name. No, it's not. Some think it's because of my degree. No, it's not. Because those of you that know me know that I was not growing up preaching and speaking and prophesying and doing all of this. Y'all know that. But somehow, some way, for whatever reason, God chose me. Guess what? God chose you too. For what you're doing for Christ, there are better people out there. Yes, there are better people that have more money, more connections, more well-spoken, know the word better than you. But for whatever reason, God chose you. God chose you. He chose you. And then we come to verse 23. It says, then turning to his disciples, he said privately. See, Jesus is still praising. Still praising. He says, blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see. Talking about his disciples. Talking about the uneducated folks. Talking about the ones that he just commissioned to go and do his work, and they were doing great things, not because they were so great, not because they were so versed in the word, not because they went to all the Bible studies in the Sunday school classes, but because God decided to use them. Many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, but didn't see them. To hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. It's interesting because sometimes the people that we wish we could be, wish they could be us. Y'all realize, even though Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel are in heaven, even though they're with the Lord, if you were to ask them, they would say, I wish I was you, Deaconess Johnson. I wish I was you. Sitting in this, I wish I was you, Sister Anthony. I wish I was you right now. Talking about Daniel. Daniel's talking about this. I wish I was you, Deacon Jenkins. John the Baptist is saying, I wish I was you, First Lady. I wish I was you. Sitting in this pew, hearing all of the goodness of God. I wish I was you. I wish I was you. Again, the people I talked about are more qualified. But God chose you. God chose you when he could have had his selection of better people, quote unquote, better singers, better musicians, better speakers, better Sunday school teachers, better Sunday school students, better. He could have, but he chose you because it's not about who's the most qualified. It's about who's called to do what God has called him to do. What gets Jesus excited? What gets Jesus excited is the Father's decision to choose us. That's what makes him go out in a praise break. That's what lights him up. Not just the amount of money you tithe, not the amount of times you volunteer, but the fact that you have been chosen by God is why Jesus jumps and lifts his knees and swings his arms and praises God and praises the Father for you. Because God loves doing extraordinary things with ordinary people. I am a witness. I don't know if any of y'all can testify, but I'm a witness that God loves to do extraordinary things with ordinary people. And because he does extraordinary things through ordinary or with ordinary people, we ought to give an extraordinary praise for what Jesus has done. Do you realize what Jesus has done? He went to the cross. He hung between two thieves. And then he bore our sins on his body on the cross. Sins that we deserved. Sins that we should have paid for. He died on the cross. And then he was buried. But on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hand. Why is that significant? Because of Jesus, we have a relationship with God. Because of Jesus, God does choose us. Because of Jesus and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for the remission of sins, it doesn't matter what your sins were. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't much matter what you have or what you don't have. God is using you if you just give your life to him. And that is worth an extraordinary praise. I know that we know how to give extraordinary praise because some of us already used it up on the Dodgers. Some of us already used up our extraordinary praise on the Lakers. Some of us already used our extraordinary praise when Obama got elected, or when Trump got elected, or when Biden got elected. Some of us already used it up. But when we're talking about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, he deserves extraordinary praise. Now, I know some of y'all said in the sermon. Listen. Growth, when we talk about growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, growth happens through revelation. I want you to think about that. The more you know, the more you grow. Well, actually, the more you know, the more you can grow. Should grow. And I say this because as believers, if you are really and truly a believer of Jesus Christ, if you have already accepted his sacrifice on the cross, if you have already believed in him, not only that he was crucified and buried, but that he rose on the third day with all power in his hand, if you believe that, if you really truly believe that, God is already revealing things to you. However, it's your job to receive them. You can see the music slowing down. They got the assignment. You know why? Why am I saying this? Now, I did not consult with Deacon Brooks before this, but I'm going to ask, or I'm going to see if you say amen to this. It's hard to praise the Lord when you're bored with him.
Amen. Amen.
Hello? It's hard to do this when you find all this boring. And yes, I'm talking to our youth upstairs too. I know you're there. It's hard to give God praise when this is just boring, y'all. Does that make sense? It's hard to do it. But I would submit to you that your boredom is actually a sign. It's a sign of growth. It's a sign of a need to grow. You know, I can talk. You know, I'm. Let me say it like this. I know that I've heard before that God is a provider. But you know what? It didn't really hit me. Yeah, he's a provider. P-R-O-V-I-D-E-R. Great. But you know what happened? I had to go through some things. And I had to experience the need for his provision. And when God did provide for me, when I was living paycheck to paycheck, and if I got sick one time, or my car went down one time, or if anything happened in my life one time, I was going to be behind on every bill. When I did go through that, and I literally depended and prayed upon God to just help me and take care of me, when he did that, then I got it. When the bills were piling up, and I'm doing the math, and I'm saying I'm not going to have enough money, and God worked some things out, then I understood that God is a provider. Then I could give him praise. Then I could jump whenever I hear that. But if he's never done anything according to you, you're going to be bored. And then Deacon Brooks talks about Jesus and what he's done for us, it's just another song. It's another thing we got to get through before the sermon. And my submission to you is this: wherever you're bored, understand that's an area for you to grow. If you don't know God as a healer, you're going to be bored when we talk about God as a healer. Ask God to grow you in that area, because at some point, and some people here can testify, you're going to need to know that God is a healer. If God is a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless, how many times have we heard that before? Some of us, unfortunately, don't know what that means until something happens. But what I'm telling you is, even before that happens, even before you go through the storm, ask God to help grow you so that you're not bored when you hear about the goodness of God. Your boredom is a sign. And the more you grow, the more you'll praise him. The more you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more you'll praise him. See, growth is realizing that not everybody can bounce around and run and skip like me, but that I can do something. Growth is realizing I can do something to show my appreciation to God. I can do something to give him glory. I can give something, or I can do something to give him praise. Because you start to miss talking when you're not able to talk. Does that make sense? You start to miss walking when you're not able to walk. You start to miss raising your hand when you're not able. Does that make sense? The more you grow in grace, the more you grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more you praise him. So let me end the sermon. Look, you can't get bored with the Lord, okay? I had a friend in college that told me, he said, if you think God is boring, you're boring. I'm gonna just let that one sink. If you think God is boring, you're boring. You know, y'all know I can play music. And as these musicians are playing, I can talk to y'all about all the transitions and the diminished chords and the sustained chords and the sevenths and the flats. And I can talk about all this, and they feel all of that. Even our drummer just mixing up the counts and everything. I could talk all about that and we get happy, right? But if some of y'all don't know music and I talk to you and all of that, you're just gonna be like, great, right? Great. And you know what I realize is that when I talk to the musicians about music, they get it. But if I talk to a person that does not really understand music, and it doesn't have to be just playing, but just having heard our music and all that. I talk to somebody that doesn't really get it, that doesn't really understand, that's what it is. You just don't get it. And so I submit to you this. If you can't praise the Lord for choosing you, you just don't get it. If I tell you that the Lord has redeemed you and saved you and brought you out of the pit, that he's brought you over, that he's delivered you, that you are written in the Lamb's book of life, that you are a follower of Christ. If I tell you all of these things and your response is, what I realize is you don't get it. You don't get it. And my prayer to you, my prayer for you, is that you get it. I could be in different places right now, but I am here drenching myself in sweat, looking kind of foolish because of the Lord God and what he has done for me. Y'all, some of y'all know how I was brought up. Some of y'all know how I am. I am not the one to quickly grab a mic. But if the Lord can take me from what I was to what I'm doing right now, some of y'all get it. But some people don't. And some people just don't understand what the Lord has done for them. Some people just don't get it. But my prayer for you is that you get it.